contributor.
I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the fact they can't hit. Let's go to Starkey's card of the week. The General. General Patton from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Your chance to win the cards or cards of the week comes from going on our website, 937thefan.com, going to the contesting page right around noon, Wednesday through Friday. Sean, do you have a guess as to what the card of the week might be? I'm going to say it's Mitch Keller and David Bednar, both perhaps having made their last appearances for the Pirates.
I'm going completely off the beaten path here. I'm going Hulk Hogan.
Holy horse milk. All right, General, what do you got?
Good morning, gentlemen. Very good guesses, but I'm going a little more recent. How about Ryne Sandberg, rookie card?
Oh, yes.
Best player in baseball, 1984 or 1985. And interestingly, Joe, this is a statistical part of this business you enjoy. He was one of the first guys that people actually started investing into his baseball cards. Like prior to 1983, people just collected cards. Starting around 83, 84, Mattingly, Sandberg, people started to think, man, if I bought 10 of those, I might actually make some money. So it kind of precipice of changing the industry. But I also have to at least represent Nick Kurtz. 4 for 4 or 6 for 6 with 4 dingers. I'm going to throw in a Nick Kurtz card. If Bednar and Keller get traded, we'll throw rookie cards at them in also.
Wow. I never dreamed of a Nick Kurtz card making an appearance here. I wanted to ask you about one other thing.
Yes, sir.
Caitlin Clark, on July 25th, she set a new bar for women's trading cards when her 2024 Flawless Logo Woman 1-of-1 rookie card sold for $660,000. That was $300,000 more than the previous women's sports card record. I'm sure you're aware of this, and does this just keep continuing to go up? And is there anybody else in her league when it comes to such cards?
No, the only thing that's even remotely close, and it's in the distance, is Paige Brucker's. People are starting to get in on her.
Yeah.
But Caitlin Clark is Americana. Like, she transcends cards. She transcends women's basketball. If you can imagine, it's almost like she opened up a door to an entirely non-existent genre, right? Like, she created a market. There was no market. I mean, people bought some girls' basketball cards prior to that, but this is like exponential explosion. It's times 1,000 of what it was. In fact, last year wasn't a great rookie class in the NBA. I would say that she was hotter than any male card. Now, this year's going to be a little different because Cooper Flagg. Last year, Caitlin Clark surpassed any male basketball card.
It's unreal, man. I often say, other than Tiger Woods, I've never seen one person have such a transformative effect on a single sport as Caitlin Clark.
Correct.
It's just unreal.
Almost like creating a market that didn't exist, right? It's one thing to succeed in a market, and it's another thing to create a market.
Yeah. Thank you, General.
You're welcome, gentlemen. Have a good week. Let's go Bucks, huh?
See you, buddy. What a nice man he is, huh, Sean? He's so nice that Sean is now saying goodbye to him. He'll chat you up even after he says goodbye.
He's a very nice man, yes, and a generous one.
I can't say the same about Mark Cabali, but he's okay, right? He'll do.
Yeah.
He's coming up next if he's awake at this point in the
day. I've checked in, and he is as of now.
Is he going to be on video, or what's the deal?
I don't think. I think that's logistically difficult, but we could. If you want to see his face, I can really try to get him on.
We'll try to get him on. It's always a pleasant sight, and the Steelers, hopefully, I don't think it's raining in Latrobe today. They put on the pads today. It is a big day, and I have a lot of questions for the big boy, including this Will Howard phenomenon. A video that we had on our website apparently took off unlike any other, and I think it was like Will Howard dropping back to throw a football. What is happening with this guy? Let's talk to the big boy next. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group. Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Extremely hot again, a high of Chad Brown at 94. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19, Peters Township. It's that time of the week that everybody on earth looks forward to. Big boy time with Mark Cabali. Is he going to be on video, or is what's happening here?
No, we can't get his face on video today, just audio.
Why is that?
He's on the move.
Okay. Big boy, how are you?
What's up, Joseph? How you been?
I've been good. Good to hear your voice again. Everything on track here for them to put the pads on for the first time today.
Looks like it. It's going to be a nice, warm, crisp one out here in Latrobe. But I think the rain is supposed to stay away. Fields are a little soggy. They're going through some walkthrough right now on the turf field before they start practice about 2 o'clock. But everything seems like it's in order to actually put the old pads on.
What time do the festivities begin?
Well, as for the pads, typically practice starts at 1:55. By the time they go through all the individuals, they'll probably start going hitting about 2:35, 2:40 at the latest. They'll go through 7 shots as a live drill. They'll go to back on backers, and they'll normally do team run drill right after, like 3 right in a row. Then maybe one later in the session. So it should be right before 3 o'clock. You should be getting some reports and some tweets of what's going on.
The back on backer matchup you're most looking forward to, should it come to pass, is what?
Oh, anybody with Darnell Washington.
How about Jack Sawyer on Darnell Washington? Might that happen or no?
Yeah, that could happen. I think Mike Tomlin's infatuated in this drill with Mark Robinson. Remember that name?
Oh, yeah.
So I think he might put him up against a guy like Caleb Johnson early in the session, because Caleb Johnson pretty much is asking for the best guy available, and Mark Robinson will run through a brick wall. That might be the only thing he can do, but he does it extremely well. So I just remember watching Darnell last year in this drill, and it was just like wherever he wanted to move a guy, he moved the guy. So I'm curious if he does go against Jack Sawyer. TJ and Alex Highsmith aren't going to go. You know, they're not going to participate in this. But some of the younger guys are going to get up to speed really quick. And Sawyer is like, man, I can't wait to hit. Because he's a Steeler. I mean, if you were going into AI and say create the prototypical Steeler linebacker, Jack Sawyer would pop up. That's how I view him.
Yeah, man. If I was there today, I'd be following him around. I would want to see what his day is like the first day in pads. Meanwhile, Peyton Wilson yesterday, and this was maybe he talked to a lot of people, I don't know, but this was via the Batconian Mongoose, a good friend of yours. Quote, I feel like I'm one of the better cover linebackers in the world, to be honest, says Peyton Wilson. Is he a little bit out over his skis here, or is he speaking truth?
I'm saying he's definitely a little bit out over his skis there right now, because we really didn't see much from him. Maybe he enjoys his ability and thinks he can be able to do that, but until you do it at this level, and not only in practice, but even in game situations, preseason games, you can't really say that. He's not a guy that seems to be, you know, full of himself, so surely he believes that he is quick. He might be the fastest linebacker they have, even if you put in Herbig and Watt into that occasion as well. But, you know, Patrick Queen's not too bad either. So in the world, what does that mean in the NFL, right? Really, that's what it means.
Yeah.
But he needs to go out and prove it first. He has the moxie to say it. Now I think even Tomlin might have been asked that, and he's like, yeah, okay, let's see what he can do. And that's basically where you're here at with him right now. But what a difference he would make if he was that coverage linebacker along with Queen, the different type of schemes you can put forward just with those two and keeping those two on the field at the same time. So they're going to give him every opportunity to be a 3-down linebacker. And I don't know if anybody in the league even has 2 inside guys or 3-down linebackers anymore. To be honest with you, I mean, Baltimore used to have it, but I don't even know if they have that anymore. So it'd be a big advantage if he was, you know, the best in maybe the NFL, but let's see.
I mean, Fred Warner's out there, but I will say this, if Highsmith is healthy and revved up this season, their linebackers across the board could be really, really good.
Not only that, Joe, is I think they'll be put in better situations to rush the ball. You got three guys who are man coverage guys, and what that does is prevents the quick dump-off passes. So you're going to see Joe Burrow holding on to the ball more than, you know, 1.1 second that allows these guys to get to him more, or at least have the opportunity to get to him more. So that's why I think they're all set up. They had a pretty miserable year last year in sacks. I think they had, 17th or 18th in the league with only 40. I think that number will just shoot up because, first of all, the talent, and second of all, how they want to play the game with their man corners. They just want a man. They want a man-on-man. Let's see if you can beat our guy. And that's very exciting football in my book.
Mark Cabali of the Pat McAfee Show joining us, and what a man he is. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan text line, you can communicate with Sean Myers here, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. A person of some concern for me is...
I know where you're going.
Where am I going? Take a guess.
Roger Jones?
No, although he is okay. A person of some concern for me. He's a person of great concern for me. What about one of the other Wilsons around here, Roman Wilson?
Yeah.
What do we have here? The only thing I've really seen of him so far in reading all the coverage is that him and Aaron Rodgers had a mix-up on one play, I think resulted in an interception. What's the deal with this guy? Is he going to step up and be an impact player, or are we looking at somebody who could be a washout? Which direction is he headed in?
I think your guess is as good as anybody's right now. I did talk to him yesterday. And you ever talk to somebody and about a minute into and say, man, I ain't getting nothing out of this one.
Oh, yeah.
That's basically where I was with Roman Wilson. And he wasn't giving up anything. I tried every trick in the book to get him to loosen up and say something. I don't know if that's just his personality or if he's focused to this degree of wanting to put last year behind him. I will be talking to his receiver coach later, actually probably in about 20 minutes or a half hour, to see if he has any insight into this. But you haven't seen much of it right now. You see him on the outside a little bit right now. But they really haven't had long practices with the four acclimation periods, and three of the five practices have been pretty truncated or canceled because of weather. And they've been working on other stuff as well. So they really haven't really got into a lot of wide receiver stuff other than maybe some with DK Metcalf. So I can just go off of what I saw in OTAs and mini camp. He looked like a different guy, but nothing has translated over to here yet because some guy's beeping to me. I'm standing in his parking lot. So
fight him.
What is this all about?
Fight him.
Literally, there's a forced parking spots. He beeps at me because I'm standing in one of them. Jeez. All right, but Roman Wilson, we'll see here. I mean, it's really too early to be able to gauge what it is because Kelvin Austin really hasn't done much either. Robert Woods really hasn't done much either. And so I think it's still just up in the air, Joe. You just have to see what he does throughout preseason. And I don't know what they're looking for. Are they looking for a slot guy? Are they looking for an outside guy? What are they looking for Roman Wilson to do? I'm not even sure of that yet right now. So it's just a big question mark right now.
Ben is very curious how they're going to utilize. He says he's excited about the tight end room. You have Jonnu Smith, you have Freiermuth, you have Mount Washington. Do you feel like Arthur Smith's offense, I mean, on one hand, you know, he's said to be a tight end friendly guy. On the other hand, Kyle Pitts was kind of a bust under him. Is he somebody who's going to be able to capitalize on the talents in that tight end room? Does this offense accentuate that?
Yeah, I think it does. You saw that early in the acclimation period practices where they were really feeding the ball to the tight ends. And this was without even Jonnu Smith around that they were feeding it to him. And they even got a lower round pick. I know he was undrafted, J.J. Galbraith, who might make the practice squad, has popped a little bit as well. But I think even that is, I think they're going to be able to use tight ends in different situations where you have Freiermuth being more the route runner, the choice route runner, Jonnu Smith just being that explosive player, and Darnell Washington could be a great red zone threat, and you have seen a lot of that here in the seven shots of him being a red zone threat, along with being sort of a de facto tackle on some plays as well. So you got three very different skill sets that he can, you know, mix and match here. But it's up to him. I like the room, but it all boils down to what, Joe? The quarterback. Is the quarterback going to get him the ball, or is he not going to get him the ball? That's basically what it is.
Let's talk to the quarterback. It's Mark Cabali from the Pat McAfee Show. First of all, has your relationship with McAfee been broached with Aaron Rodgers? Are you two bonding yet over the fact that you're both McAfee guys?
Oh, yeah. I've talked to Aaron from time to time in the cafeteria, walking around a little bit briefly. He just seems like a guy to me. I mean, I really didn't have any expectations. I've never met him before.
Does he call you Mark yet?
Yeah. Oh, you have to understand. He does his due diligence, and not only on the field, but with the media. I mean, apparently they give away packets of different media personalities.
I wonder what my packet says.
And apparently there's some notes included into it.
Wow.
To let you know. But this is just not a Rodgers-specific thing. This is the entire team.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking he's – I know he's more than glanced it over a little bit, and he's very prepared of who he's talking to.
Wait a second. Hold on here. Let's not bury the lead. Have you gotten a hold of one of these packets? So if it were my packet, it's handed out by like Burt Lawton and company. It has my photo on it, and then a little dossier of things I've written and watch out for this guy, although you probably never see him type thing.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure where the notes come in at. I know in the past, at least 10, 15 years ago, they used to have it. And do you remember Bill DeFabio?
Oh, yeah.
Bill DeFabio was bald, but in this picture, he had his hairpiece on. And Pouncey used to destroy him every day about this hairpiece.
I remember that.
So it's nothing new, but it's just updated a little bit.
Well, what do you think your dossier says? Cabali, he's a friendly guy, gets to know the players once in a while, will rip some of you guys, so watch out for him.
Oh, it might be Steelers apologist, right, Joe?
Could be. This guy will be friendly to you, but watch out. Watch out for Cabali also.
I'm going to have to ask around to see what my little note says. A little bit, but I think Aaron knew about. I mean, not to say anything, but he knew about me beforehand through Pat.
Yeah.
So he asked right away. So I talked to him before. But back to him, man, he's strolling the campus here at St. Vincent like he doesn't have a care in the world, man. To me, I just view him and just watching and see how he interacts and how he moves as a guy that's just enjoying not being, you know, the GM, the head coach, the quarterback, the saving grace of the organization. That's how it comes across to me. Maybe I'm off base here.
Well, he doesn't have a care in the world. He's got, pre-retirement elation, pre-quitting elation, they call it. I've had that at various jobs. Nothing to lose. And his legacy is really set. I mean, he can certainly enhance it, but it's pretty much set as a first ballot, four-time MVP Hall of Famer. So
not only that, Joe, I mean, people, you know, you usually say, how's Aaron? Oh, he's great, right? But you up here, you have a lot of time and you run into people and you're like, okay, man, tell me what Aaron's really like. And not one person has said something negative about him at all. I mean, there's people that say negative stuff about George Pickens, but not Aaron, man. So whatever that thought of him out there was, whatever he was, a bad teammate, whatever it was, it's just not here. Either I left it behind him, he left it in New York and Green Bay or whatever, or it just doesn't exist. Because right now, I know it's training camp and what do you have to worry about, but it seems like he should be like strolling the streets of Latrobe with a box of popcorn, just relaxing, maybe going to Kenny Wooten sit on the bench type of mentality as it came to me. So I don't know if that means he'll be a better quarterback for it, but he sure the heck seems like he's enjoying what he's doing.
Well, that's good to hear. So tell me, what are the interactions like? I want to know every single detail. You'll be and I know how it is at La Trobe. You randomly run into people. You see Rodgers. Who says something first? Does he say, "Hey, Mark, what's up? What's Pat up to today?" I guess McAfee's out there today, right?
Yeah, I see right now there has to be 1,000 or so people around his set right now. It's across the way from me right now, so a lot of people make their way up here just for this right now, so they're going to be getting started here probably in a half hour. It's going to be a lot of players. I think Aaron's going over and stuff like that, and Hayward and TJ and tons of Steelers. So if you're a big Steeler fan, today would be the day to watch Pat show because he's just going to roll them through there. But whereas for Rodgers, I was just walking away from the locker room yesterday, and somebody slaps me in the middle of the back. "Hey, Mark." And I look, I'm like, "Who's this?" And it was Rodgers. I'm like, just BS. And like, "Hey, how's your camp so far? It's good. I love it. Blah, blah, blah." And that's it. I mean, we're not getting into Joe Rogan talk and anything like that. Just pleasantries, right?
Well, it sounds great. I mean, that actually sounds like you're off to a really good start with him. So I expect some good stuff this year. Maybe some exclusives.
Apparently he's quite, I mean, you have to understand the media here too. There are media coming from all over the continent just a request for Aaron Rodgers. It's been pretty spectacular so far in the first couple of days. How many people come up here and request him for their one-on-ones, national guys. So
yeah,
he's been a very popular person amongst the media.
And I understand there was a giant crowd. I don't know if this is McAfee related or first day in pads related or beautiful weather, a little hot, but you know what I mean. Huge lines today. Is that correct? And why are they that way?
I rolled in at like 9:30 and they were already lined up to get in. And we're talking 2 hours before they open campus and 4.5 hours before they get on the field. So I'm not quite sure if that was because of Pat show, although I hear a big loud scream from up there today. If it's the weather, I mean, normally on Wednesday? I lose track of days. Wednesdays, you know, it's pretty a light turnout, so to speak, you know.
Yeah.
But it looks like there's going to be a number of people right now. Right now, like I said, they are all packed around McAfee's set right now. And they're just starting to round up the end of walkthrough here of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Another couple minutes.
All right, big boy. Can you think of anything else, Sean? I mean, there's a million things to talk about, but this guy has to go, from my understanding.
Yeah, he's a busy man today. We don't want
to I just have to talk to the wide receiver coach whenever he's available, and I'm just not quite sure when he's available between now and 11:45.
So. Your first question should be, do you agree with me that any team that wants to win a Super Bowl needs a Ben Skoranek like you told us the one day?
I tweeted that back in training camp. These are guys you win Super Bowls with. I took a lot of flack
I love it.
It's true. Don't you need those type of guys? Maybe not. You need that type of mentality, that dirtbag mentality. Did you know his dad was from Connellsville?
No.
I did not know that too, but apparently Ben Skoranek's relatives are from Connellsville, PA, at least his dad.
Your Broderick Jones comments got a lot of play. You said he's been something, he's struggling maybe a little bit. Do you expect to see him today? Tomlin said he'll be out there today. And
he's supposed to be out there. What? I mean, it's tough so far. It's so early in camp. I hate to make a across-the-board decision. This guy's going to be a bust yet. I just noticed he's lost a lot of weight. I mean, Darnell Washington has to weigh 50 pounds more than him. And he's getting pretty much beat a lot of speed rushers with Herbig and Highsmith, and they're very noticeable. Now, if that's because he's playing a different position than he's normal to, not quite sure. But for him to drop that much of weight, and they really have an undersized offensive line if you look across the board, they want to get those guys on the move. So it might not matter, to be honest with you, if he's 280 or 290. As long as he can move, they can always chip for a Washington over there and help him out. Now, if you have two tackles that struggle, then that's when you're in deep, deep trouble. Because if Fontana doesn't live up to his hype, then, you know, you can't hide both of them. You can hide one of them. So it's still really early. Let's see what he can do in preseason. He's not going to be judged until preseason. And even if he does struggle, they're going to stick with him. They're going to stick with him because they don't have much behind him to be able to even think about be better than him right now. So better sit there and hope that Roger Jones figures some things out.
You heard from Ron lately?
No, Ron doesn't respond to any texts anymore. Maybe he got a girlfriend. You've noticed anything?
No, I don't follow. Is he on social media? I don't follow any of his social media. I would think if he had one, he may post a photo of him and her. I don't know.
Oh.
I haven't been in contact with him since, I can't even remember. We texted about something way early in the summer.
Didn't he come up to Pennsylvania and didn't even tell you?
Yeah.
That's kind of rude.
I thought so. Yeah. I wouldn't call it a rift in our relationship. I don't even know if we had a relationship to have a rift in, but I thought if he was coming to Pittsburgh, he would at least text me. Of course, I went to Fort Myers and didn't text him.
Well, you know, as Ron would say, a coach is no more than me. What was his famous quote there?
Basically that. They see these guys every day. Who am I to have an opinion?
I wonder if Ron realizes how much you talked about him on the radio on a daily basis.
Still, you mean?
Yeah.
He asked somebody the other day, do they ever mention me on the radio? If only he knew.
Every single day, right?
Pretty much there's at least one clip of Ron every single day. He was a lovable creature, though, wasn't he, big boy?
Yeah, the funny thing is when I first started in this business, he was the biggest jerk in the world, but then he mellowed a little bit.
Right.
And do you not agree with me? I mean, the 2005, 06, 07, you know, early 10s.
Yeah.
He was a jerk.
Very, very untrusting. Perhaps a residue of some childhood trauma, but very untrusting. But once you get to know him, once you break that shell a little bit, you've never met a more caring man.
You're absolutely right.
Except he doesn't return texts anymore. Thank you, big boy. Good luck with your interview.
All right, Joseph. We'll see you.
See you, buddy. He's always fun, isn't he, Sean?
I liked when someone was beeping at him for the specific spot that he was standing in.
Right. He's probably taking up too.
He was going to clap back and create a little moment there on the radio, but
I almost made a joke that he couldn't help but take up two spots, but I felt that would be too personal and insulting. He's actually in pretty good shape these days.
After his two Achilles injuries.
Yeah, exactly. Coming up, John Wehner hates Adam Crowley, or at least he did this morning. Right, Sean? I haven't heard this yet.
That is pretty accurate, yes.
I'm eagerly looking forward to this. And then we have Dan Zangrilli at noon on the trade deadline. And he's the one who asked Paul Skeens the big question the other day, to which Skeens answered, basically, we better... In so many words, we better get off our rear ends here soon and improve this team. So Zangrilli's the perfect guy to have on around the trade deadline. All of that coming up on Pomp. Well, sometimes Pomp and Joe. 93.7 The Fan, 100.1 FM, AM 1020 KDKA, and WAMO 107.3. Are partnering to support Pittsburgh public school students for the school year by providing stuffed backpacks for Pittsburgh for PPS. That's hashtag Pittsburgh for PPS backpack drive presented by Target Freight Management. You can support by purchasing backpacks or dropping at a location near you, including Piatta Italian Street Food in Robinson and Northway Mall. For details, visit 937thefan.com to drop off your donation. Brought to you by GBU Life. Life insurance, annuities, and member benefits since 1892. Yes, Ron was their first customer. I have to admit there's a tiny part of me that wonders if the Steelers will be really good. Just tiny and just wondering. Because I do think that there's some potentially pretty explosive young talent over there. Who am I talking about? Troy Fatanu, for one. Peyton Wilson, perhaps, for another. Derek Harmon, obviously. Caleb Johnson. Just a small part and just a wondering, a passing wondering. Many wonderings wander through during the course of a day, Sean, don't they?
Yes, they come and go very quickly.
What do you wonder about this team?
To me, the biggest thing that I wonder is, will Rodgers look serviceable? Will he look better than what he has the last couple of years? Or will he look like a quarterback who has fallen off a cliff in terms of his ability? Because it really could go any of the three ways, and I don't know which it's going to be.
It's 17 long games. That's the thing.
And which is why the first month is not necessarily indicative of what the team's going to look like at the end of
the
year.
They better do some winning in the first month. That's for sure. First 2 months, really. Anywho, Dan Zangrilli's coming up top of the hour, and I have so many questions for him about the pending MLB trade deadline. What is Ben Cherington?
He will be in the studio.
Beautiful.
You'll see him face to face.
50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township, and The Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. John Wehner called the morning show. Did they know how early it was out in San Fran? Were they aware of this?
No idea how time works, it seems.
I mean, you'd think that they were, but it was like 5 a.m. when this dude woke up. And my understanding is, and I haven't heard it yet, it was some combination of funny and Wehner now hates Crowley. I don't know. Can we listen?
Yeah, I think that's an accurate description. Here we go.
John, are you out there on the West Coast?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Well, don't you guys watch?
Last night, John, I don't even need truth here. Yeah, we ain't watching that. John, we count on you to tell us what happened.
All right. Well, I'm here. I'm ready. I was excited.
It's 5:37 in the morning.
It's 5:20.
Yeah. Yeah. My bad. I forgot.
Funny. You guys, John, are funny.
Well,
when I was in L.A., same thing in L.A. I'm like, well, they did it to me in L.A. I know they're going to do it to me here.
John, were you worried yesterday about like a tsunami coming in? Like, in all seriousness.
No, I was not.
Okay.
I mean, no, I was not. I was worried about not waking up for this great show of yours.
That is tremendous. That is absolutely tremendous. Do they not know that he's out there?
Apparently have no clue. Yeah. I think it was something that they realized at the moment that they actually had him on the phone. They're like, hey, we got to talk about the game in San Francisco last night. Oh, he's probably should be sleeping at this hour. I mean, 5:30 in the morning is a pretty early wake up.
That was great. Hey, the Yankees have brought in a guy. Did you see that?
I did. I have no idea who that is, though.
Neither do I, but he crushes left-handed pitching. Austin Slater from the White Sox. Why would anybody know who he is? He plays for the White Sox, and they gave up a pitching prospect who's in Double-A. Against lefties, he hits an 859 OPS, 522 slug. And it reminds me of what could also be some solutions for the Pirates. Like, I still don't know why they haven't tried Joey Bart at first base in a platoon with Spencer Horwitz. Like, they're going to have to, no matter what they do at this deadline, and probably even in the offseason, there's going to be some holes in the lineup next year. So they're going to have to get smart about platoons and things like that. Do you think they're going to trade Key Brian Hayes?
Well, I don't know if you saw this. Apparently, Charlie Hayes had an interesting tweet, which he said, you know, basically speculating that something could be happening with Key Brian. You know, I don't know a team is, you know.
Tell me about that. Tell me more about that. What do you mean?
I'll have to look it up specifically because I don't want to misquote. But it was something along the lines of Charlie Hayes, former Pirate himself, saying everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
And so he wasn't explicitly saying this is referring to my son getting traded or whatever. But that was kind of implied when you know how tweets go at this time of year. You say something indirectly and all of a sudden people think it's...
Yeah, it gets a little tiresome when the parents become involved.
Everything happens for a reason with 4 exclamations, Charlie Hayes.
And tell me some of the reaction below that, if you wouldn't mind. That's what I always get
curious
about.
Nick Gonzalez's mustache says, please no. frowny
Please
face.
Know what? Please know don't trade him?
Yeah,
is Nick Gonzalez's mustache out of its mind?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, well, I mean, to be honest.
What else are people saying?
More responses than not are positive towards Keith Ryan.
Let's hear some of it.
Because they know this is his dad, right?
Well, yeah. Do people care about things, such things on social media?
Some normal people do. Don't listen to all this yapping. Key is a great Pirate and a great player. I hope he doesn't get traded.
I mean, who would write that? I don't want to be mean-spirited, and I won't. Key Brian Hayes is one of the best fielders that I have ever seen in my life at any position. But it's just a fact that he can't hit major league pitching. And it's killing the Pirates. It's one of the things that is absolutely killing them because they paid him. Did they pay him big major league money? No. Did they pay him big Pirate money? Yes. And he's horrible. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. In his last 720 at-bats over two seasons, he has 6 home runs. He's hitting .236 this year with a .290 slug. That's almost hard to do. He's such a good fielder, a great fielder, that his WAR is still positive at a 1.2, but he is a horrendous hitter that you can't live with unless he's a luxury in an already good lineup, and we all know that's not the case. He's an anchor on this team.
I just wonder if he could even start on a playoff contending team, even as good as he is defensively.
I think he can, yeah, if he's a luxury player, sure. Yeah, that's a big deal.
If you say we have 7 competent hitters, 8 competent hitters, and he's the lone guy that we can just punt on
like you would
do with a catcher in the past.
Sure, and he has gotten hot at times in his career. I realize that. He's coming off a month of June where he hit .301. So there are times, yeah, absolutely. But it's not, it hasn't worked here. So I think that's almost a positive tweet from Charlie Hayes. Like everything happens for a reason, exclamation points. Yes, this could be best for both sides just to move on. Please move on.
You're probably in this scenario getting nothing of value back, and that still might be a win for the Pirates because we know they are, you know, so against going out and spending money that they could reallocate that, whatever, $7, $8 million a year, hopefully towards something more productive offensively.
Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Extremely hot again with a high of Lawrence Timmons, 94. All right, coming up, let's talk about Key Brian Hayes and Mitch Keller and David Bednar and some of these possible bats in return. A guy never shy of an opinion, Dr. Daniel Zangrilli, is going to be in studio with me. Let's break down the deadline next on Pomp and Joe.